Today on Real Life Radio.
You want to stop and ask yourself that question. Why is it the name Jesus Christ either praised in the world or cursed in the world? I'm going to give you a hint. It's the will of God the Father that His name be known in all the world.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Jesus Christ Unveiled, continues now in his series called The Book of Revelation. There is no other book in the Bible that draws us in with such a gracious promise of blessing. But there is also no other book that comes with a severe warning should anyone add or take away from its message. In Genesis, we have the beginning of it all. In Revelation, we have the end goal of it all. You see, the book of Revelation deals with the final and deepest revelation of Jesus Christ. Like an approaching storm, it's setting the stage for global events. Even now, some of what was predicted in its pages has already come to pass, or already in the making at least. But most importantly, it's the will of the Father that His Son, Jesus, be known to the world, that He literally lived, died, and rose again from the dead, and soon will return for His people. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that all the books of the Bible that come before Revelation are a progressive unveiling of Jesus Christ, from Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament to the New Testament Gospels and the Epistles, Jesus is being revealed to us. And now in his message called Jesus Christ Unveiled, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're going to look at 3 points this morning. Jot them down in your notes. Write small. There's a lot of data to each point. Number one, Jesus Christ unveiled. We look at verse 1 and we jot this down. A revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. Put it down that way, would you? Not the revelation. We'll talk about that in a moment. But a revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. Verse 1. It says here in your Bible, in the English, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. I want you to mark this down right now. The first thing that we see right here is that it's the will of the Father that Jesus Christ be made known. It's the will of God the Father that Jesus Christ be made known. Number one, in verse 1, it is in the Greek, a revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave, not the. Very important. The Bible was written in Greek in the New Testament, and that word appears in the Greek New Testament as a revelation. Why? Well, for one reason, it is this. It tells us that the rest of the Bible, listen, this is technical. The reason why that little a is in front of revelation is that it tells us that the rest of the Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ also. Church, listen. From Genesis to Revelation, there is one key figure spoken of either literally, exactly, or in symbolic terms, or alluded to. Who is that person? It's Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made an offering of an animal and covered their sin with the skin of an animal. The reference was made in Scripture that from Eve, the seed would come. Listen, a woman doesn't have seed. Man has the seed. But God was telling in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that God would send the Messiah. When Abraham took Isaac up on the hill there to make sacrifice, what did the Bible say? That God will provide himself a lamb. Speaking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation, the entire Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Revelation, true, is the last book of the Bible. Also true, it is the last revelation of Jesus Christ to a world that is to know God. So when he says a revelation, what he's declaring in good Bible understanding and teaching is this. He demands that you incorporate the four Gospels into the revelation of Christ. How do you see Jesus in the four Gospels? Based upon what those authors wrote. Those four Gospels are a revelation of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, while he was healing, while he was teaching, while he was eating, while he was breathing. Right? Now, this very statement declares that we look and incorporate the epistles, the canon of Scripture. That when you look at the epistles, who's the key person of the epistles? In the very introductions, it's always saying things like, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will go into some sort of greeting about how he died for our sins or he is our peace or whatever it might be. It's all about him. Are you with me on that? Well, this very statement, a revelation of Jesus Christ, demands that we look at the prophets. Who do the prophets foretell about? Jesus Christ. It demands that we look at Moses in the first five books of the Bible. Who did Moses speak about? Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lamb of God. It demands that we incorporate the entire Old Testament into what's being said here. It demands the incorporation of the entire Bible. That's why in some of your Bibles or off to the footnote, it says a revelation of Jesus Christ, not to lessen the punch, but to increase it. It demands that you look at the entire Scripture. You can't come to the book of Revelation without understanding that the 65 books that precede it speak about Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Psalm chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8 says, then I said, behold, I come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God, for your law is within my heart. That's called a messianic psalm, a psalm of the Messiah. The answer to that is found in Hebrews 10, 7. Then I said concerning Christ, behold, I have come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Another very important thing that we see here is not only a revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's the word here, which God gave. This means that it's the will of the Father that Jesus Christ be made known. That's God's will today, by the way, everyone. It's the will of the Father that everyone know the name of Jesus Christ and know what his life and what his death and resurrection was all about. You've heard me say this time and time again, but maybe you're here for the first time. And this impacted my life when I first heard it for the first time. Maybe it will you for your life. Isn't it interesting that we're learning here, as we'll see more clearly also, that it's God the Father's will that Jesus be made known in all the world? Isn't it interesting that when someone's going to cuss, they'll never do it in Buddha's name? Remember that. If someone's going to cuss, they're going to either invoke God generically or they're going to call upon a certain name. And by the way, this is true in all of the world. I have been in a foreign country, didn't understand a word that guy was saying on the metro, on the subway. But the moment he wanted to cuss in his language, he cussed in his language and then out came the name Jesus. You want to stop and ask yourself that question. Why is it the name Jesus Christ either praised in the world or cursed in the world? I'm going to give you a hint. It's the will of God the Father that his name be known in all the world. Because for those who know him, we sing his praises. To those who don't want anything to do with him, or maybe they're ignorant of him, not educated about who he is and what he was when he came and who he is now, they curse his name. Interesting. It's the revelation that God gave, God the Father. It's the desire of the Father. Jot these verses down. Listen to this. John 3, 34. Jesus says, for whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into the hands of the Son. John 5, 20 to 24. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you all may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son cannot honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has in fact passed from death to life. You see how it's the will of the Father? Let's keep going. I'm just getting warmed up here. John 5:37, and the Father himself is the one who sent me. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him, the Father, who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on that last day. It's God's will that Jesus Christ be made known. John 7:16, Jesus answered and said to them, this is my doctrine. It is not my own, but it is the will of him who sent me. John 8:28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, that he's speaking about the cross, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak those things. John 12:49, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak to them of my own authority, but the Father who dwells within me does the work. John 14:24, he who does not love me and does not keep my words and the word which has been given unto you, those words are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Another point that we want to look to this consideration about the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world, and that being that of the Father, is that it is also the will of Jesus Christ. It's the will of Jesus that he be made known. It's the heart of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus went all about Israel preaching and teaching concerning the things of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. It's the will of Jesus that he be made known to the world. Here in verse 1, it says that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, that's the Father, gave to him, that's the Son. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him, for you have seen him. You can almost see Jesus pointing to himself when he said that. John 8:18. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Jesus is saying, I bear witness of myself. The Father sent me. I acknowledge that. But I also point out to the fact that he's in orchestra with God. They said unto him in John chapter 8, where is your Father? And Jesus answered and said to them, you know neither me nor my Father, for if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. You see the point of that? There's no way that we can know God the Father unless it's through God the Son, Jesus Christ. It's the will of Jesus that he be made known. It's the will of the Father that he be made known. Number 3 under this point, it's the will of heaven that Jesus be made known, which God gave to him, that is Jesus, verse 1 says, and to show to his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his, what's it say? Angel. Most scholars believe this is the angel Gabriel. We have no proof. We can't prove that. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But it is a reference to angelic or heavenly angels. It's the angel's desire that the world see Jesus. The heavenly angelic hosts worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you open up the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, enthroned in heaven, you see angels worshiping him. You see angels worshiping the Father. But it's the angelic host and their desire that Jesus be made known. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures, these are angels. Hang on to your seats. These are goofy looking things. You know, I say goofy, they're strange to us, but they must be incredibly spectacularly beautiful. Revelation 4:8, each having 6 wings. That's enough to wig you out right there. Each one's got 6 wings. Picture that in your head. They were full of eyes around and within. They got eyes all around their head or something about it. They got 4 heads with eyes all the way around there. And they do not rest day or night. In other words, they never stop. This is what's happening right now. What is it? It's 9:15. Heaven or earth time. Heaven time. What are they doing? Never stopping day or night. Wow. What do they say? Holy, holy, holy. 3 times, by the way. Not to make a big deal of it. I just think that's kind of cool. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Who's doing the worshiping in heaven? Angels. Who's being worshiped? Whoever the one is who was, who is to come. You're going to be pleasantly surprised that it's not only a reference to the Father, but most often and certainly in the book of Revelation, it's a reference to who? Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up in his grand vision, and the glory of his robe filled the temple. Above the throne stood seraphim, angels, each one having six wings. With two of his wings, he covered his face. With two of his wings, he covered his feet. And with the remaining two wings, he flew. And each one cried to one another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the beams of the doors were shaken by the voice of them who cried out. Hey, that is awesome. You think it's going to be quiet in heaven? Man, if you want it quiet in heaven, you're not like heaven. The Bible says, let's bless the Lord with a loud voice. The Bible says in heaven, when John sees those that are in heaven, it says that their voices were like the sound of a mighty rushing waterfall or a great river. Have you ever stood next to a great waterfall? You can't even yell. You got to yell at your friends. It's time to get in the car. Isn't this beautiful? You ever been to Yosemite when it's flowing right? That river, whatever, I don't even know, whatever. Forget what falls it is. It can be 100 degrees on the valley floor and you just go to the foot of that waterfall and you're freezing and you can't hear yourself think. Heaven is roaring with worship and praise. Angels are in his presence. We're going to see him. We're going to see these angels. Six wings, but look, six wings. They got two wings, they're covering their face in the presence of God. With two wings, they're covering their feet or their bodies. Now, if they were designed with three sets of wings to fly, it's interesting to me, I don't know, but with the last remaining two, those wings must be beating awful fast with the last two they got. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Worship, praise. I'm sorry, I've been studying this week. I'm very excited about it. It's awesome. It's the will of the Father, it's the will of the Son, it's the will of angels that we would know. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, that is undisputed truth, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was unveiled publicly in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received back up into glory. The Bible here says seen of angels. The word in Greek is gocked. The angels had wide eyes and open mouths at the birthing of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. The Bible says there when Jesus Christ was born, according to the scripture in Timothy, that when he was being birthed into this world, the angels gawked at Christ for the first time. Why? The suggestion is this, that in the presence of God, angels veil themselves. They don't even look upon God. And so at the birth of Jesus Christ in that little cave or stable in Bethlehem, the angels were looking on. They got the first chance to see their creator. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that as Jesus is the creator of angels, that as he was coming through the birth canal of Mary, and as that child began to crown and come forth that black Jewish hair, the angels were gawking as Mary was giving birth. They looked on. Can you imagine? Angels have been around a long time. I don't think you can impress an angel very easily. They were impressed. The word means seen by angels, gawked in awe as angels looked on at the manifestation of Christ in the flesh. I believe, like many scholars do, that they had a chance to see Jesus for the first time ever because in heaven, they veil their faces in his presence. Isn't that fantastic to think? And the Bible says in the end, when you and I stand before God, we will rejoice in his presence. We'll see him face to face. We will be allowed to see him where apparently angels do not look upon him. That's enough to give you a good day right there. See, I don't believe it. Well, too bad. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping their flocks by night. And behold, an angel, this is just one of them, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around him. That's just one of them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And here it comes, a revelation of Jesus Christ. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And listen, at that, the angel's talking. He's talking. There's shepherds. This is the sign, the angel, and there's glowing. It's just one angel. and this will be the sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 2. And suddenly, the word in Greek is explosively. They couldn't take it anymore. The angel, somewhere hidden in the clouds, somewhere hidden by spirit, I don't know. But it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Those are angels. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. It's the angels' desire that Christ be made known. It's Jesus' desire that he be made known to you. And it's the will of God the Father that Jesus be made known to you. Now, you know what? We ought to take a cue from that. If angels get pumped up and excited in the presence of God, and if their announcement, they couldn't handle it, who's the angel that gets to go to announce to the shepherds? Can you imagine? I'll go. I'll do it. Gabriel, you do it. Okay. Gabriel shows up. Everyone, shepherds, lo, thee who keep thy flocks by night, I have an announcement to make. This is the sign that will be given to you. Behold, this day, born in the city of David, Christ the Lord, the Savior. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And as soon as the rest of the angels heard that, they went, hallelujah, hallelujah. They went into, they sound, I'm sure, better than that, but they broke forth into praise. I'm conservative in my worship. I'll raise my hand. I'll stand when I want to. I'll kneel. But I'm conservative in my worship. I personally need to take a cue from heaven, seeing how that's where we're going, those of us who trust in Jesus. I don't want to be a stranger up there when it comes to worship. But apparently, angels are very excited. And those that we see snapshot pictures of those in heaven, they're worshiping loudly and praising. I think maybe perhaps if we look at the Bible and then some of our worship, I scarcely think it's even worship. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying run around the sanctuary and act like a nut. You'll be thrown out. In the Lord. We love you, but we don't want you distracting anybody. But you know what? If you stand and you worship, you lift your hands up, you know what? Maybe that's just a forerunner of where we're going, you know? But I can't wait to get there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Jesus Christ Unveiled. Thanks for being with us today. Jesus Christ Unveiled is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events. The Book of Revelation occupies a central place in the hearts and minds of every true believer. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture. Brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Pastor Jack, Christmas, right around the corner, of course, my favorite time of year. We've got such a great listening audience, and I understand you'd like to take a second and greet everybody for Christmas.
Boy, I tell you, on behalf of Lisa and I would love to do that, and that is to extend an honest, heartfelt thank you to all of you and to wish you an amazing Christmas, because this time of the year and the purpose of it is the thing that can set the course and rudder for your life.
Yeah.
Because it's all about Christ. Don't let Christmas get lost in all of the rush and the news. Focus on Him.
Yeah.
And it'd be an amazing Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.